In today's gospel, we hear of the disciples bickering over who is the greatest. Jesus scolds them, saying that whoever desires to be first must be last and a servant to all. Jesus then puts a child into his arms, saying that whoever welcomes a child welcomes him. So today I want to talk about the ways that we are accustomed to welcoming children and suggest a few ways to welcome children that might better reflect the way that Jesus welcomes children in this passage. I want to begin by telling two stories about godly play, the curriculum that we use here at the cathedral and across the diocese to share sacred stories from the Bible with children. This summer, I helped organize Queerest and Dearest, a new camp for LGBTQ Christians and their families. On the very first day, we told the godly play story of the great family, the story of Abraham and Sarah. Following the story, we wondered together. You liked best about the story. I wonder what was the most important part of the story. Many who were present were very familiar with godly play and started to add their own wondering questions. At one point, a 7-year-old piped up and said, "I wonder what is childlike about this story." What a powerful question. The whole community took this question seriously and wondered together, what is childlike about the story of Abraham and Sarah? During the week, I was to learn that this family didn't even go to church or even consider themselves Christian. My second story comes from here at the cathedral this Easter season. I was telling the godly play story of the disciples encountering Jesus after the resurrection. Following the story, I invited children to find objects in our godly playroom that they felt would add to the story. For those of you who don't know godly play, we use objects to tell the story, and all of the stories live in the room with us. And so one child brought the cross that we keep in the room. Another brought the large rock we use as Mount Sinai. I didn't know quite why they had brought it, and so I asked if they could tell me a bit more. They told me that it reminded them of the rock that was rolled away from the tomb. A third brought St. Patrick, for reasons that I am not sure of. Another brought Noah's Ark, because I think it's one of their favorite stories. Another brought the basket of manna that we use to tell the story of the people of God in the wilderness, because it reminded them of Jesus breaking the bread with the disciples after the road to Emmaus. These two stories illustrate for me one of the things I find so powerful about the way that Jesus welcomes children. They illustrate how Jesus calls adults to take seriously what children have to offer us. We have a tendency, I think, to find that the things that children do cute. Of course, one of the things that children bring us is an ability to play, to be silly, and to find joy. But when we welcome or commend children primarily for being cute, we do a disservice to children because we fail to take seriously what they are offering. We teach them that what they have to offer is not as worthy as what we as adults have to offer. In my first story, the community took very seriously this interesting, important, theological question that this 7-year-old asked us. In my second story, I don't perhaps know why the child brought the figure of St. Patrick to the story. And when I asked an open-ended question inviting them to tell me more, the child wasn't able verbally to tell me. My gut reaction might have been to laugh or to say, "Isn't that cute?" But here is this child bringing forward something with all honesty and desire to connect this object to the stories of the Christian faith. And this is just as valid, just as true as bringing an object like the rock or the cross. Their theological reflection is just as valid as any other, whether or not I, as an adult, know what it means. We can uphold the connection that stories that children make between their surroundings and the stories of the Christian faith. When we welcome children, we are called to take them seriously. Secondly, to welcome children into the church, we must understand what it is we can and what we cannot offer children through our ministry. Godly Play has developed what they call the theology of the child. At the center of this theology is an understanding that children already have an experience of the divine, and we can't teach them this. We can merely give them language to speak about their experience of the divine and rituals to observe their experience of the divine. Only God can provide an experience of the divine. Adults who have the answers. Let us not be like the disciples in today's gospel who believe that they can be greater than one another. I once heard a story from Bishop Jim Cruikshank. In the 1970s, when General Synod was debating whether children should be able to receive communion, someone was arguing against children being able to receive communion, arguing that children couldn't understand what it meant to have the communion. Archbishop David Somerville stood up and said, "I don't understand what happens in the Eucharist." We as adults have no greater or better understanding of the divine than children, and we must understand this if we are to better welcome children like Jesus welcomed children. Finally, to welcome children, we must be willing to meet them where they are, to welcome one such child, as Jesus says in our gospel. And sometimes, this means being willing to give something up. Developmentally, kids aren't as able as adults to understand abstract concepts, to sit still and to stay quiet. I don't actually think that we as adults get less bored than children. We are just better at hiding it. So if we are to welcome ones such as this, we must sometimes give up our time upstairs to be downstairs with them in godly play. We must sometimes give up perfect silence, give up our uninterrupted worship in order to whisper quietly back and forth with a child in worship so that they know what's going on. If we are to welcome children like Jesus welcomed children, we must sometimes give up worries about worship looking perfect in order to welcome a fidgety kid as a server or a new reader. Because when we welcome ones such as this, we welcome Jesus in our midst. I know that I am active in ministry today because as a teenager, no one made me feel unwelcome for wearing my bright pink sneakers when I was serving. No one berated me and my friends who had a very specific pew on the right of the church that was our pew and we always sat. And I'm quite sure that we were disruptive at times, but we were also engaged in worship and learning to be part of that community. So to welcome children, we must value who they are and take seriously what they have to offer us. We must understand that we are not greater or better than them. We can offer them language and ritual, but not an experience of the divine. We must meet them where they are and be willing to give something up to make room for them. Jesus is calling us to bring children into the very center of our community and to welcome them, to journey together and learn together and grow in faith together. Jesus calls us to do this not because children are the church of the future, though this is true, not even because children are equal members with us in the body of Christ, though this is also true. Jesus calls us to do this because when we welcome them, our faith is deepened. Because when we welcome them, our lives are transformed. Because when we welcome them, we welcome Christ. So today I leave you with a simple question. I wonder how you will welcome children.